WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? You are tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on this beautiful June 17th, 2015. Happy hump day, ladies and gents. We've got a fantastic show in store for you all. Of course, the Golden State Warriors have been named as basketball's champion. How about that? They were crowned NBA champs last night. How about Draymond Green? Draymond Day-Day Green coming up big, finishing with a triple-double to seal the deal for the Warriors. Of course, Day-Day, a former Michigan State basketball great. We'll recap all things NBA Finals in just a sec here on the show. We'll also bring up some new developments concerning the MSU softball investigation. And we invite Helene St. James, Detroit Free Press, beat writer for the Detroit Red Wings. She'll talk a little wings and also recap the Stanley Cup Finals, which concluded on Monday. We'll have all of that as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this Wednesday, June 17th. All right, folks, the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry and Finals MVP Andre Iguodala scored 25 points apiece. Draymond Green, former Michigan State basketball great, recorded a triple-double. And the Warriors, using a barrage of three-pointers in the fourth quarter to put Cleveland away, won their first title since 1975 when Gerald Ford was in the White House, disco was in vogue, and Rick Barry was flickering free throws underhanded, okay? LeBron James now falls to 2-4 in the finals, with Curry, the team's first MVP since Wilt Chamberlain, leading them. The Warriors outgunned everyone in the rugged Western Conference and entered the postseason as a number one seed. They swept New Orleans, rallied from a 2-1 deficit to beat Memphis, and then blew through Houston in five games to make the finals for the first time since 75. We'll have more chatter on the Warriors and this accomplishment coming up in just a sec. Michigan fans, here is your chance to work with head football coach Jim Harbaugh. As first discovered by Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press, Michigan Athletics posted a job on Tuesday to hire a director of internal communications and operations for the head football coach. Sounds like a perfect opportunity to be Harbaugh's personal assistant and liaison with the athletic department. Now, for the job description, the duties include assisting the football coach in all areas, including day-to-day operations, communications, office management and administration, and working with all related departments to ensure that the football program is providing a collaborative message that integrates with the athletic department's initiatives. Pretty cool stuff. Start some mini applications right now, folks. Very cool stuff. All right, Eden Rapids spent a majority of the season ranked in the top five of the Division II coaches poll and leads the Mid-Michigan area in all state selections for baseball. A trio of Greyhounds earned spots on the recently released Michigan High School Baseball Coaches Association All-State teams. Senior catcher Blaine Milheim was named, was a Division II first-team selection, while senior infielder Jarrett McDaniel and senior outfielder Lathan Lagunas each earned second-team honors. Salute to those individuals. All right, Jason Lebijan, he slugged two home runs, gunning the Lansing Lugnuts past the Bowling Green Hot Rods 13-3 in the first game of a three-game set on Tuesday at Cooley Law School Stadium. Richard Urena and Chris Carlson also homered for the Luggies, who now sit one game ahead of the Hot Rods for sole possession of first place in the Eastern Division with five games left in the first half. Congrats to them. Let's see if they can hold it. Todd Frazier powered the Reds through their scoring struggles with a pair of home runs, including a go-ahead drive to center field in the seventh inning, as Cincinnati gained a split in the two-game interleague set against the Tigers with a 5-2 win Tuesday night at Comerica Park. Now, one night after Anibal Sanchez allowed just four balls out of the infield in a shutout, the Reds hit almost as many balls out of the park off lefty Kyle Ryan. The St. Louis Cards, they're being investigated by the FBI for allegedly hacking into networks and trying to steal information about the Houston Astros. Now, that was reported by the New York Times on Tuesday. Major League Baseball, the Cardinals and Astros all issued statements yesterday saying they have cooperated fully with the investigation, which started last year after some information was posted anonymously online. The Astros and Cards say they would not comment further, and it is an ongoing federal investigation. U.S. veteran Abby Wambach, making her second start of the World Cup, scored her first goal of the tournament and the 183rd of her storied international career to put the Americans past Nigeria on Tuesday in Canada. The 1-0 victory allowed the U.S. to win Group D and advance into the elimination rounds, where they will face another group's third-place team on Monday, followed by a possible matchup against Cameroon or China later on in the week. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, we're taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot us a comment there or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, it's time to start the show.
I mean, it was a great series. I mean, you know, up until, you know, they blew the game open in the fourth and game five, but we had a chance there. You know, tonight we had our chances, but, you know, we ran out of talent. We ran out of talent tonight. We gave everything I had. The guys were played as hard as they could, as long as we could, but, you know, that team across the way, you give your hat, you tip your hats to them. I cannot remember a team like them being healthy all year for the most part.
Unbelievable stuff. Again, that was comments from LeBron James, the best basketball player on the planet, if you ask me, right after they fell to the Golden State Warriors in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Hats off to the Warriors, who, as you just heard from LeBron, were the best team all year, bar none. Valiant fight put up by Cleveland, though, I must say, looking at how LeBron James was able to enact his own talent on this series. He just ran out of gas, to be honest with you, folks. And I want to get your thoughts on this series. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Hats off to Draymond Green as well, a player who not too long ago graced the hardwood here on the campus of Michigan State University, quickly became an instant leader and an instant star that will be talked about for years and years down the line in the tenure of Tom Izzo and this university. Draymond going on to become a second-round pick in the NBA draft, and now he can call himself an NBA champion. He posted a triple-double last night, folks. I mean, are you kidding me? A triple-double in the final game to seal the deal for the Warriors. Draymond Green was absolutely spectacular last night. We're talking about 16 points, 10 assists, 11 rebounds. That's redonkulous. He even had a block. He had three steals. I mean, unbelievable. In 41 minutes of work last night. Draymond Green, I tell you what, I never thought this kid would be this good on this stage of basketball. It's truly remarkable what he's done. And again, you know, I'm seeing it left and right. I have to address it as much as I don't want to. But it amazes me just how many, again, LeBron haters there are out there. I knew it was coming, especially after seeing LeBron's distraught face, who actually really made a classy move as well. When it was all said and done, when it was pretty much in the bag for Golden State, and when David Blatt decided to check LeBron out of the game, LeBron walked over to Steph Curry. He shook his hand. He went over to the bench. He shook the hand of Steve Kerr and a few others and then walked to his bench amidst the incredible crowd at Quicken Loans Arena, applauding LeBron James's effort throughout this entire season, more so specifically in this year's NBA Finals. What a classy move. What a classy move for LeBron James. He could have just checked himself out, went to the bench, and said, that's about it. I'll see you guys at the press conference. But what a classy move to tip his cap off to the league's MVP and Steve Kerr and company. Really classy move. But I knew we would see it. Left and right, people are making fun of LeBron. I don't know if you guys have seen the memes on social media and on Instagram. A meme is basically a wordage on a picture of some sort. And there are constant pictures of LeBron James with things written on those pictures that sort of poke fun at LeBron becoming now 2-4 in the NBA Finals. I tell you what, LeBron he gave it all he could. There's not much you can ask more of from LeBron James. He was spectacular. It is not his fault whatsoever that the Cleveland Cavaliers were not able to win a championship this season. He was basically out there playing 1-on-5. There was a moment last night that you saw, you just basically saw him wave the white flag. He stopped being really aggressive. He started just pass the ball off to his teammates and let J.R. Smith take a few threes here and there, pretty much signaling that, yeah, this is about it. It's all said and done. It's in the books. We've lost this series. But LeBron James looked completely exhausted, folks. He gave it all he could. You cannot put this on his shoulders. And those who are doing that and who have alluded to that, you don't know basketball. I got to say it. If you are putting this on LeBron James' shoulders, you do not know the game of basketball, point blank, period. LeBron James is the best player on the planet, and he tried everything. He tried getting his teammates involved. He tried taking over and being aggressive. It was just not enough against a team that has weapons galore and a team that is and proved that they are quite deep. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, who, thank goodness, was awarded this year's Finals MVP because he was the most consistent player on that Golden State Warriors roster throughout this series. Andre Iguodala was fantastic. And we had this debate on yesterday's show, when we had Diamond Leung, Golden State Warriors beat reporter, who actually predicted that the Warriors would win last night and close things out. Isaac and I, of course, went against that grain. I think it was more so we were kind of deciding that with our heart, really hoping that this thing would go to a Game 7 because of how entertaining this series has been. But Diamond predicted Golden State would close it out, and he was right on the money. He's been following his team left and right, and he was right on the money last night with his prediction. But, Diamond talked about how if the MVP didn't go to LeBron James and I haven't seen in my lifetime an MVP in the NBA Finals go to a player of the losing team. But if there was a year where such could be true, I think it could have been this year because LeBron James was the best player in this year's NBA Finals, point blank period. No matter how consistent Andre Iguodala was, LeBron James still, he was just off the charts. So if you didn't give the MVP to LeBron James, which was kind of expected, history writes its own story when it comes to that award, you had to give it to Andre Iguodala. I don't think, and Diamond agreed with that as well. I don't think you could have given it to anyone else, even though Steph Curry did have his moments. But at the very beginning of the series, he kind of went ghost recon. Dellavedova really giving Steph some trouble, but, that all went out the window as the series went on. But you got to give, hats off to what Steve Kerr and this team was able to do. I want to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I'll now invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer right here on WKR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. How you doing, Isaac?
I'm doing well. I'm a little bit bummed that the finals is over. It's the time of the year that I look forward to, and now no more European soccer, no more basketball, no more football for a couple of months. So
I'm right there with you, Isaac.
Time to start watching some more baseball.
Yeah,
good old
rev it up, right?
Time.
Rev it up, right? A lot of Tigers viewing, right? Throughout these next few months, I should say. But what's your reaction to Golden State, my man? I mean, what went through your head when watching Steph Curry and those boys go on the podium and accept that coveted trophy?
Like LeBron said, I can't remember a team that stayed this healthy and been this good for an entire season. Really, they did not struggle with any injury troubles at all. And you talk about just the veteran sacrifice on this team, such as Andre Iguodala, who didn't start a game until the finals in the playoffs, and David Lee, Maurice Spates. All of these players could get significant minutes elsewhere and sacrifice for the team, and the outcome's not too surprising. As for Cleveland, I mean, it was totally opposite teams. It was one real team with a great superstar, but another superstar who was doing it all himself, and he really carried that team on his back until he dropped to all fours and kept trying, but eventually he just got grounded. So, not too surprising, but kudos to LeBron for a great series, the best on a losing team since Jerry West.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I'm happy for Andre Iguodala too. Some dude that's just so unselfish, and he deserved it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Have you also seen the memes that I'm talking about, Isaac? Have you gone on social media and seen just everyone kind of poking fun at LeBron James? I think LeBron James is that player, that individual in the NBA, and or I should say one of them, that just you know, sports fans out there just love to hate.
He is. And the thing is, but here's one thing that I saw posted last night by Tom Haberstroh of ESPN. He posted Cleveland's field goals without LeBron on the court. First off, they've only taken 21 field goal attempts without LeBron on the court. That just shows how much he's played in the series. But they didn't make one of them. I mean, you're telling me that this is not the best basketball player on the planet. This is not one of the greatest finals performances we've ever seen. Like, LeBron is really, he's revolutionary. We've never seen anybody like him before. And although he didn't win a finals MVP or the finals or even three games in the series, this definitely moves him up the ranks for me.
Yeah, without a doubt. I have to agree with you, Isaac. I mean, it is a joy to watch LeBron James play. And I think with a fully healthy team next year, I mean, you know, if you know, Kevin Love comes back fully healthy and if Kyrie Irving is able to come back healthy as well, I mean, I think you could see the Cleveland Cavaliers in the depleted Eastern Conference, which is not good each and every year. I think you can see Cleveland make another run at this thing. And I think LeBron James is going to get another ring. LeBron James will get another ring. And I think he is going to deliver a championship to the city of Cleveland. It's just a matter of time. A city that certainly deserves it, without a doubt. But they got to stay healthy. And I think that's the biggest thing. And I think, you know, looking at those comments that LeBron made, Isaac, I think that when you look at those comments, I think one of the biggest reasons why the Golden State Warriors have been able to stay so healthy is because of the way they play, the style in which they play. They shoot a lot of jumpers. They're not really physical because they don't go up in the paint that much. So when you're a shooting team that, you know, that shoots so much and you're not creating contact like that, yeah, you know, that's less wear and tear, I should say, on your body. Whereas all the other teams in the NBA, I mean, there's more of a drive and penetration game. And we all know, I mean, when you go up in the paint against, you know, the tall trees, sometimes you're going to get knocked around and get hurt. That's just the nature of the game. But, you know, it's truly remarkable. Looking at Golden State now, I mean, this team will be competing, Isaac. If they keep these pieces, they will be competing for championships 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 years down the line because they are so young. There's a lot of youth on this team. If they are able to stay together and looking at the chemistry that they have, they genuinely like each other. There's no bickering about playing time. There's no drama. It's clear who the leader is, or who the leaders are, I should say, on the team with, you know, guys like Steph Curry and Draymond Green being that emotional leader. If they are able to keep this core together, watch out NBA because you could really see something special as the years go on. I wouldn't be surprised if these two teams met up again in the NBA Finals next year. How crazy would that be, right?
Yeah, I could see that happening. And like you said, what about that chemistry? Because you saw after the game, Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala taking pictures, posing for them. Everybody just gels. Everybody likes each other. Everybody gets along.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll be interested to see what they do when Draymond's, I'm not sure how much he's getting paid so far, but mm-hmm. His contract will take a hike up.
Oh, well, you think,
mountain
right?
Mountaintop level, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see what they have to give up for that. They went small throughout the series, so Bogut's Bogut, I think they'll keep Bogut, but they might have to sacrifice a few of those veterans that made them so good. There's going to be slight coaching overhaul with Alvin Gentry becoming the head coach of New Orleans.
Exactly.
And
yeah, you're pretty excited about that, huh?
Assistant is also from Golden State. Okay. I'm happy about that. By the way, did you see after the game, Gentry said, called out Anthony Davis. He said, AD, we're going to be here next year. So that had me smiling. Did. You can imagine. That had me smiling.
Oh, I can only imagine. And it was pretty cool seeing Alvin celebrate with Steve Kerr. There is, before we get to our call, we have a caller right now on line one. Again, folks, you can call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. There is one man other than LeBron James that I truly felt for last night, that I truly felt bad for. And I could kind of see it just kind of bleeding through the television screen. Now, I think, Isaac, you know where I'm going with this. You got to feel for Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson is a guy, it kind of reminds me of the situation. You know I'm a big Piston fan, so to equate this locally here, it kind of reminds me when Rick Carlisle was here as the head coach of the Detroit Pistons, you know, in the early 2000s, really building the foundation for this Detroit Pistons squad. Before they eventually became NBA champs back in 2004, in which they beat the LA Lakers in five games, Kobe and Shaq and Karl Malone and Gary Payton and company, where they were tremendous underdogs. But if you remember, they had let go of Rick Carlisle the year before. Larry Brown took over, one of the greatest basketball minds the game of basketball has ever seen. Larry Brown takes over, he wins a championship. Mark Jackson, fantastic coach. I love him on the air as well. He's a fantastic basketball analyst. And he was doing the broadcast along with Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy last night. And you could see, I don't know if you really pay attention to this, but you could see when they came back from break after the buzzer went off and the celebration started and they were handing out t-shirts and hats, there wasn't a smile on Mark Jackson's face when they came back. He kept his composure. He was very composed and he gave props to where props were due. Handled it with immense class. But you could really see on his face that, man, that could have been me. Could have been me. Let's go to line one right now. We've got John from Jackson on the line to talk about the NBA Finals. John, how you doing? And welcome to Current Sports.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I just have to disagree with you about LeBron. He played great, no doubt about it. But he hit less than 40% of his shots. If he'd hit 40, he didn't have to hit 50. But if he hit 44, 45... they would have won the thing. He missed a ton of shots.
That's true. Now that's a good point. I mean, he went 13 for 33 last night, John. But
yeah,
really, what would you rather have? Iman Shumpert taking the majority of those shots or LeBron James?
I mean, well, I'd rather have LeBron make a few more.
Well, I feel you. I get where you're coming from. But I just think
that he missed a ton of free throws.
Yeah, he also, when you look at the free throw line, he made 4 of 8 from the line last night.
The 50%. Whole series he missed
yeah,
a ton.
I will say, when Cleveland were able to get that 2-1 series lead. LeBron yep. James in the fourth quarter, he was money from the free
right.
throw line. But
and I'm
I mean,
sure he was tired by then. But
right, right.
But when you say he couldn't have done any more, I can't disagree more. He needed to make some more shots. I mean, I think you and I could, you know, if we shot 40 times, we could score 20 also. Well, not really, but you know what I mean.
Right, I get you.
He just needed to be shoot a better percentage.
But, John, I mean, but when you look at what the man, I mean, because you saw last night's game, I mean, his face looked completely exhausted. It's like,
yeah.
You know, the man had just, he's, you know, he's human. I think a lot of people look at LeBron James, he's this freak of nature. But at the end of the day, there's only so much gas in the tank. He just looked like a tired man who was just trying to muscle up just some sort of energy to get mm-hmm. his team in contention throughout that game. So I think at mm-hmm. the end of the day, when you look at that shooting percentage, 13 of 33, Not a great shooting percentage at all. But again, I mean, you know, he tried to get his teammates involved throughout this entire series. I mean, he had a few triple-doubles left and right. I mean, he had 9 assists last night. He had 18 rebounds along with those 32 points. Yeah. I just think,
He missed a lot of inside shots, too. It wasn't just, you know, 18, 20, 25-footers.
And that's fatigue,
right? He missed
right?
a ton in the paint in the whole series.
Yeah, and I gotta believe that that's fatigue at the end of the day. I mean, he's mm-hmm. wearing – he just wore himself down so much. I can't put that on his shoulders, Jack. He's trying out there.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, anybody that shoots less – you know, if you shoot less than 40%, you're not going to win any game.
Yeah. Yeah, and you need help. You need help too, man. Last time I checked, I mean, championships aren't won by one person. I do think Timothy Mize, guy, if you looked at him, he was one of the guys I called out before last night's game. He had 17 mm-hmm. points. He was a man down low. But I don't know if you agree with this, Jacket, and Isaac. I thought that Timothy Mozgov should have played more throughout this series. I was really disappointed. If anything, if I had to critique make a coaching critique on how David Blatt handled the finals, I thought that Timothy Mozgov should have played more, and they should have went big more to combat a smaller team.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Isaac?
Oh, yeah, I think Timothy Mozgov definitely should have played more. But also in response to the LeBron question, because LeBron shot 57% from the field in the season. I bet he hated playing like this. You know, he is such a team-oriented
exactly,
guy.
He right.
loves distributing it. So this is something that I really feel like he forced up shots, and not all of them were great shots. In some situations, maybe he should have passed. But I think it all just comes down to the alternative option. And when JR is shooting that poorly, when Iman Shumpert can't hit a three, I mean, like our caller said yesterday, these are former Knicks he's playing with. So,
yeah,
like,
man.
You don't
yeah.
have the best cast.
Hey, Jack, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it,
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Thank you, man. And, yeah, I agree. I mean, what's the alternative? What is the plan B? And LeBron is such a team-oriented guy. I mean, he would love to distribute and get his teammates involved. But, again, and you bring up J.R. Smith. That's the guy I wanted to call out today, because J.R. Smith was just way too up and down like a roller coaster this series. 5 of 15 last night, and he doesn't hit his first field goal, Isaac, until the 4-minute mark of the third quarter? Are you kidding me? Like, that blew my mind. I wrote that down on my phone because it was so just crazy. I couldn't believe that happened. LeBron needs help. And any player out there, you can't win a championship by yourself. This isn't golf. This isn't tennis. This isn't boxing, where it's all on your shoulders. LeBron James, though, you got to believe that he put up one heck of a fight. Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. What do you think about, you know, the legacy that this Lau leaves and the foundation that this sets for the future of the Golden State Warriors? How many championships do you think this team can win in the next 10 years here, Isaac?
Well, Al, I want to see who they hold on to first, because I'm sure that they will do everything in their power, and I think at the end of the day they will keep Draymond Green after this offseason.
I think so, too.
But
and the rumors about him
I'm
coming to the Pistons.
I'm interested to see who they have to give up to do that, because
yeah.
they got a few steals. At the same time, they're paying their highest paid player. Do you know who it is?
Who's that?
All right.
Who's the highest paid player for the Golden State Warriors right
yeah.
now? If I had to guess, you would think it's Steph Curry.
David Lee.
Really?
David Lee.
Oh, my goodness.
A guy who didn't play in the finals until like game 3 or 4. So there's some expendable pieces that they can give up and retain the core of the team. So if I had to guess, and I hate making these predictions, especially in the Western Conference,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, it's such a volatile conference. Teams just come up and down like that. So I'm going to say they'll only win one more. I think there are pieces that will be taken, and I think if they were in the East, we could have a real dynasty on our hands. We could be talking about this for years to come. But in the Western Conference, there are also teams like the Thunder and the Pelicans who are on the come up, and then a bunch of teams who I see sticking around. So I say one more in the next few years, but if they can retain the talent and turn into a San Antonio Spurs-esque team, then we can talk about a dynasty.
Yeah, without a doubt, I knew you were going to bring up your Pelicans too, man. The West is certainly a quest, without a doubt, man. The East is it's just kind of going through a field of flowers. It's so easy in the East. But all right, folks, again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. After the first break, we're going to invite our guest for today's Current Sports, Helene St. James, Detroit Free Press, Red Wings beat reporter. You do not want to miss that chat. We'll also dive into new developments concerning the Michigan State softball investigation. You don't want to miss those developments, folks. Interesting text messages concerning head coach Jackie Joseph. And also now former player Alyssa McBride to a team assistant. You don't want to, or a team manager, I should say. You don't want to miss that. All of that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. First off, I want to issue an apology, man. Our fantastic caller we just had was actually John from Jackson. I introduced him the right way, right, Isaac?
But you did.
I guess I said Jack as the call went on. So apologies, man. I hate when people mess up my name, so I definitely don't want to do that to all of you guys. So, John, fantastic call. Again, thanks for calling in, my man. Fantastic call. Again, the number to call in is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And, folks, I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. I'm pretty excited, of course. It is Wednesday. Oh, boy, all you got to do is just get over the hump, and you got two more days, and the weekend will be here. Hold on tight, though, folks, because each and every Wednesday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we tape Current Sports TV, and I'm excited about today's guest. I'll be chatting with a legend, a complete and utter legend when you talk about the world of broadcasting. I've actually been watching him back when I was a little tyke, glued to my TV as a Piston fan and watching the countless Detroit Pistons broadcast on Fox Sports Detroit and hearing his voice along with Greg Kelcer, former Michigan State big man great. Of course, who I am talking about is George Blaha, a local broadcasting icon, one of the most recognizable personalities in Detroit and the NBA. Blaha recently completed his 39th season as the play-by-play voice of the Detroit Pistons and has been the voice for the Spartan football broadcast for nearly four decades, making him the longest tenured play-by-play announcer in the entire state of Michigan. I'll be chatting with George right on Current Sports TV today at 3 p.m. As soon as we wrap up things here on Current Sports Radio, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. And then it's just a matter of just showing up right here on the campus of Michigan State inside of the Communication Arts and Sciences building. Going to be a fantastic sit down. I tell you what, I become a kid on interviews like this. All right, folks, well, let's get to our guest here on today's Current Sports Radio Show. We're going to talk about the Detroit Red Wings and also sort of recap the NHL Finals, which was a thrilling finals, of course, with the Chicago Blackhawks wrapping things up against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Monday. Really, really just enjoyable. Enjoyable to watch, you know, it was so fantastic these past few weeks watching not only the Stanley Cup Finals and then watching the NBA Finals, which were great as well. Oh, boy, we've got Helene St. James, Detroit Free Press beat writer for the Detroit Red Wings, right on the line with me right now. Helene, how you doing?
Great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We finally snagged you. We've been trying to get you on for a long time.
I'm glad it finally worked out.
Without a doubt. Now, Helene, I first want to talk about the Stanley Cup Finals, which I'm of course, like, you know, you yourself and myself and many others were glued to their TV watching. Such an entertaining series between the Chicago Blackhawks and the Tampa Bay Lightning. What were your thoughts on Chicago winning the Stanley Cup? Did you think they'll pull it out?
You know, I think they showed they're a team that knows how much it takes to win this time of year. I mean, they've third cup in 6 years, you know, with some very young players on the team. But they know just that extra gear it takes to close out a final. And you saw with Tampa, I mean, they couldn't score those last two games. And this was the top offensive team in the regular season. This was a learning experience for Tampa. And Chicago showed that they had, you know, the lessons that they had learned over the past 6 years.
What do you think Chicago was able to do that the Wings couldn't, as, of course, the Detroit Red Wings were eliminated by, at the hands of, I should say, of the Tampa Bay Lightning? What do you think was the difference that Chicago was able to enact?
Well, I think, you know, they have two tremendous superstars in Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, which they got, you know, as a result of only making the playoffs once the previous decade. So that helps. And also, you know, I mean, give Detroit some credit. They pushed Tampa Bay, and a lot of the Tampa players said Detroit was the toughest of the series they played. And they pushed him to seven games, and, you know, that game seven might have turned out a little bit differently had the Wings been able, had they not been without their top defenseman. You know, we all recalled Nicholas Cromwell was suspended for that game. So it's a 1-0 game until the last minute and a half. So very, very tight. I mean, that's the playoffs for you. You know, that's why the Stanley Cup playoffs are so much fun to watch. I mean, it's you know, a matter of millimeters in the end.
And, you know, speaking of the Stanley Cup itself, you know, Lord Stanley was a little bit late to the celebration after the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, won and the final buzzer went off because of bad weather. The Cup was actually still at the hotel, and, you know, the Cup was trying to arrive to United Center. They actually had a police escort. At one point, I read a report that the Cup traveled up to 100 miles per hour to make sure that it arrived on time. I mean, how odd was that to see?
I thought that was very odd because I don't think it was late flight-wise coming in, so I don't know why they couldn't have arranged to take it there earlier. I mean, surely they're able to look on a weather forecast, and, you know, everybody knew storms were coming. So I thought that whole sequence of events was very, very strange. But, you know, I don't think the delay was too noticeable. I watched the whole thing Monday night. I absolutely loved the handshake line at the end of the final. So, yeah, but I agree with you. It was a kind of a strange tale there for a while.
Yeah, bizarre to say the least. And I always say, I wish every sport at the end in any championship series had that handshake line, because I think it's just a coveted thing that we see in hockey and is a great sign of sportsmanship. If you're just now joining us here on WKRS Current Sports, we're talking with Helene St. James, the Detroit Free Press beat writer for the Detroit Red Wings. Now, let's talk about the Wings here, Helene. Of course, Mike Babcock has decided to take a job with the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're talking about a lot of money, $50 million, 8 years. Was that move expected in your eyes?
Yeah, I think, you know, going back as far as last summer when he said he wasn't going to sign an extension before this past season began, it was a pretty strong hint. I mean, he had to have a reason why. And then, you know, the second giant flag was when he asked permission to talk to other teams before his contract expired at the end of June. I was like, well, he wouldn't be doing that if he didn't want to hear, if he didn't want to be wooed and hear what other teams had to say. So I think, you know, the Wings made the best of the situation. They got a third-round draft pick out of it, and they looked, you know, like, hey, if a guy doesn't want to be here, we're not going to hold him back. And, you know, they got a young guy they think very highly of instead, and Mike Babcock gets to go to Toronto and see what he can make of that mess up there.
So you think this could be a win-win on both parties? I mean, something that could re-energize, you know, the mindset and overall demeanor of Mike Babcock and also the team of the Red Wings, the overall aura of them embarking now on a new future.
Oh, absolutely. With the Wings, I mean, they have a lot of young players, including Anthony Mantha, the first rounder from 2013, Dylan Larkin from last year's, who Larkin only played a couple of weeks, but Jeff Blashill knows Anthony Mantha better than anybody knows, but can he recover from a not very impressive rookie debut year? And he knows a lot of young guys who are already in Detroit from having coached them the past 3 years. So, yeah, I think this is going to be as smooth a transition as possible. And for Mike's sake, you know, I mean, I wouldn't turn down $50 million, you know, and he gets to go to the self-described center of the hockey universe and work with a franchise that, you know, hasn't really had much success for a long, long time. And see what he can do and have several years to do so.
Yeah, anytime you turn down, if you were to turn down $50 million, I think you need to have a drug test, right? All right, well,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly, right? Let's talk about the hire of Jeff Blashill now. If you look at his track record of success, other than, of course, the NFL, but I tell you what, you know, it's pretty impressive, Helene. I mean, you know, he's a proven winner, to say the least, without a doubt. I mean, just looking at, you know, what he was able to do with the Grand Rapids Griffins and even in the past of, you know, going back later into his hockey history, do you think Jeff Blashill was the right move?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, you know, he's coached so many of the young guys who are now in Detroit. He knows them from having had them. I mean, a lot of them, I think almost a dozen of them were on the 2013 team that he coached to the Calder Cup championship. And you know, a lot of them this past season, I mean, they made it all the way to the conference final. And this is after, you know, I joked with Jeff at one point last season. I say, you must be so tempted not to answer the phone when Ken Holland calls, because it's always about, you know, poaching one of the best players in Grand Rapids. So, you know, he's had to deal with Mrazek leaving the team and Landon Ferraro being called up, Timo Polkin and being up and down, and Alexei Marchenko. Like, you know, that's the downside to being a minors coach, is often you lose your best players when the big team wants them, and you have to try and fill those shoes. So he's very, very smart, and he has, you know, a lot of the characteristics you want in a coach. He holds players accountable. He also knows, you know, when to be tough with them and when they need a pat on the back. And, you know, I think he pays his dues, and the fresh perspective, the fresh voice, I think will also be welcome for the veterans in the room.
Helene, when this move was made and announced, and when you filed your first article announcing this move, I mean, putting your hand on the pulse of Hockey Town in Detroit, I mean, what sort of feedback from Red Wings fans out there did you get about this hire?
I mean, you know, it was so expected that it would be Blashill, that people, you know, looked at it and going, yeah, this is a guy who knows the system, knows the team, so it's good from that perspective. And also, well, Mike, I mean, Mike has had a lot of success in Detroit, but, you know, one playoff round victory in the past 4 years, one cup in 10 years, that, you know, maybe let him go and see what else is out there as well. And especially if he doesn't want to be in Detroit, then, you know, time to let somebody else have a chance. I mean, 10 years is a long, long time to spend with one team. And, you know, there, I mean, you have rife examples in Detroit with that, with the Pistons. You know, that at one point, I think it was hard to keep track of who their coach was.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Again, folks, we are talking with Helene St. James of the Detroit Free Press. He's a beat writer for the Detroit Red Wings. How short of a leash do you think Jeff has? I mean, with the expectations that surrounds just the history of the storied history, I should say, of the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, what would be considered a success, and what would be considered a letdown in the first few seasons under the helm of Jeff Blashill? Does he need to win right now? Is that the mentality?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's kind of ties into the age of Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg. Both are in their mid-30s. I mean, let's say they probably have, Datsyuk has 2 years left on his contract. You know, that's probably the window they have left, those two specifically, to win another cup with them. And Datsyuk, even at his age, is just one of the elite players in the league. He's still so incredibly talented. Zetterberg, I think, kind of quiet the last second half of the season, but carried the team the first half. So if they can find somebody to complement those two, you know, on the free agent market, or maybe a trade, they could use an upgrade on the blue line. But Jeff, I mean, it comes down to, you know, you're taking over a team that hasn't missed the playoffs in 24 seasons. You're not going to want to be the guy who comes in and breaks that streak. So it's continuing to be successful, continuing to be a winning team, and continuing to get into the playoffs and then get further. I mean, that's why there was so much disappointment this year when they lost in the first round, because last year they were so decimated by injuries, they limped into the playoffs. It was not a big surprise that they didn't last very long. This year they, you know, the thinking was they had a good team, and almost the significant players were healthy, and that's why it was just, like Mike said, you know, he sulked for 24 hours after that Game 7 loss.
Helene, I'm getting a tweet here from one of our listeners. This one comes from RomanKind777. He wants to know, Peter Mrazek or Jimmy Howard?
Well, the answer is both. I mean, you know, they're both going to be in camp. They're going to push each other for the number one job. Peter Mrazek certainly finished last season with a number one job. But, you know, all the talk about trading Jimmy Howard, I mean, Peter Mrazek has played 40 NHL games. He's been very good for the most part, but he certainly had some iffy outings this spring as well. And you just don't turn the reins of a mature team over to a guy with so little experience without having an extremely good, safety net. And that safety net is Jimmy Howard. I can also tell you, I mean, Jimmy Howard was selected to the All-Star game in January. He had a very good first 3 months of the season. And he's going to want, you know, to be back at that level when the things start up in September. This is not a bad spot for the Wings to be in. I mean, Jimmy Howard makes a fair deal of money, but Mrazek has a year left on a contract that cap-wise is very favorable. It's barely $1 million. So they're in a good position, and if they did trade Jimmy Howard, they just have to get up and go out and sign not just your average backup veteran, but somebody who they could count on to, should Mrazek falter, you know, who could be there. So this is a good situation, and they have two guys who are going to push each other very hard for the number one job.
So you could see possibly both of them staying with the squad, and whoever is named numero uno, you could see the other one, you know, embracing that role as the backup, as number two.
Well, you know, it's also, I mean, number one can change game to game. I mean,
right.
Blashill, like most coaches, will play whoever's giving him the best chance to win. So, you know, I mean, this will work itself out through training camp and exhibition. And then, you know, once the regular season starts, and if Mrazek comes in and plays as well as he did at the end of last season, and Jimmy Howard doesn't, then for sure Mrazek will get the number one job until he gives them a reason not to have it. But, I mean, financially, this is not a bad situation, and competitive-wise, this is not a bad situation for the Wings to be in.
Who do you think is the better goalie?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it's hard to argue against Mrazek the way he played the second half of last season, but Jimmy Howard has been very good for them for much of the time, and, you know, I think he just started becoming a mental problem for him at the end of last season. But give him the summer to recover and, you know, give him, there's no reason not to give him a chance to see what he'll do in September and October.
All right, Haleen, before we get you out of here, one last question. How far is the Detroit Red Wings from winning a Stanley Cup, do you think?
I think they could really use an upgrade on the blue line, which, unfortunately for them, 20, 25 other teams are going to be looking to do that as well this summer. Defensemen are just, you know, the golden unicorn in the NHL. So, and if they could find a big forward, that's kind of a problem for them because Eric Cole, had to quit with a severe neck injury or a severe injury. He was the one they picked up at the trade deadline. Franson is iffy because of all the head injuries. So if they can find a big forward, and they may be able to do that on the free agent market, and then do they pull a trade or something for a defenseman? But I'd say one or two pieces. And then, but, you know, honestly, also whoever wins the Stanley Cup is also usually the healthiest team left standing.
Yeah.
That's true. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what moves are made. There you have it. Haleen St. James, Detroit Free Press beat writer for the Detroit Red Wings. Haleen, thanks so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. I'm glad it worked out.
All right. Thank you. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, folks, we've got less than 15 minutes left here on WKRS Current Sports. We've got a pretty interesting Barbershop Wednesday for you, centered on U.S. Women's National Team goalie Hope Solo. Gender, driving perception. You don't want to miss that chat. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, I forgot to mention this, Isaac. We have one extended headliner that I didn't get a chance to get to. But you know how I kind of rant and raved about Gennady Golovkin, who I think is the best boxer in the game right now. You know, bar none, the most entertaining boxer in the sport. Love him. He's a fantastic fighter and is really, you know, proving himself as a champion in this sport. I'm looking at a picture right now online of him holding up the WBA, WBC, and IBO middleweight world championship belts. You know, he's a proven winner. And Triple G, that's what they call him, Gennady Golovkin's nickname. Again, the Kotzkin boxer who won a silver medal in the middleweight division at the 2004 Summer Olympics. He actually told TMZ Hollywood Sports on Monday that he will crush 5-division world champion Floyd Mayweather if they ever got in the ring. Golovkin is the holder of middleweight titles in the World Boxing Association and International Boxing Organization. The 33-year-old Golovkin said in the interview that such a face-off would be a dream fight for him. When asked if he was, quote, 100% sure about his win, he said, "Of course I beat him." So, interesting stuff. Sadly, though, I think that with Floyd being on the tail end of his career, with only, what, you know, two fights left on his contract, I just don't think he's going to put that perfect, unblemished record up against a young, up-and-coming, entertaining fighter in Triple G. Because I do think that, you know, Triple G has a pretty good chance of beating him, and I think Floyd knows that as well.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, you know, we faulted Floyd Mayweather earlier for not taking on the competition that other fighters had taken on. But here you can't really blame him. He is on the tail end of his career. And it's not fair for him to risk that all on possibly his last fight. So it makes sense for him to skip this one. Now, I would have loved to see this matchup a little bit earlier. But of course, Golovkin didn't come around till really months ago. Mm-hmm. Did you start hearing his name? So unless you're really in the boxing circle. So,
yeah.
You know, can't fault Floyd too much here. Gosh, I would love to see that fight if it did happen.
Yeah, and I said I wasn't giving Floyd any more of my moolah, but if that fight did happen, I would be broke
man
once
up.
Again. Yeah, I would have to man up, and my wallet would be hurting once again. And also, one more quick headline before we sum up the show with our Barbershop Wednesday topic. Text messages and interviews. It's coming from the Lansing State Journal. Chris Solari detailing this along with Graham Couch. Text messages and interviews, from a report filed by the Michigan State Police in Paw Paw, reiterate allegations made by a Michigan State University softball player, Alyssa McBride, against two members of the coaching staff, Jackie Joseph and Jessica Bogracus. Yet the state police report is missing key interviews conducted by MSU police, including one with head coach Jackie Joseph. Alyssa McBride, of course, alleges she was intentionally hit with batting practice pitches thrown by assistant coach Jessica Bogracus at the request of Joseph. Interesting, because you can read the 28-page report online. It's posted on LSJ. It was actually delivered to the Detroit News. So Matt Charbonneau, the Detroit News, who we had on Monday on the show, he had a whole article written up about this whole thing. And you can read the text messages between Alyssa McBride and also a team manager. I believe the name is Benjamin. What's the name here? I'm trying to sift through the article to find it. But really interesting text messages between McBride and this team manager as they sort of go back and forth in the conversation about, she tells the team manager what happens, and the team manager says, yeah, I actually heard, Coach Jay, that's who he refers to Coach Jackie Joseph as. I actually heard Coach Jay, say that to Coach Beach, which is Jessica Bogracus. So interesting stuff, new developments on that, very interesting stuff. Again, you can find it on Lansing State Journal. .com or also in the latest version of the Detroit News and Detroit Free Press. All right, well, Isaac, let's get to our Barbershop Wednesday topic that centers on Hope Solo. What's really the viewpoint concerning the U.S. women's national team soccer goalie and her troubles that she's had with domestic violence off the field? Is she getting a pass just because she's a woman? What do you think? Here we go, Barbershop Wednesday.
I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but a healthy conversation.
All right, so the big question here is whether or not perception is driving, or I should say, I flip it around. Is gender really driving perception in this case? Because we've seen when it comes to domestic violence, we want to center this on really the world of sports with certain athletes. And, I don't think we've ever had a conversation of a female athlete getting involved with a domestic problem and being bashed for being involved with it based on her standpoint. Now, Hope Solo has really had an unflattering history, which includes, calling out former coaches, bashing analysts, and allowing her husband to drive a soccer van drunk. Talking about domestic violence here, was a domestic violence incident, which prosecutors say are reportedly planning to appeal, that proved to be one of the obstacles the goalkeeper has been unable to dodge. Still, the backlash against Solo has been all quiet on the American front. And I really haven't been hearing much conversation or many articles centered on Hope Solo and her involvement with domestic violence. So the big question here, which we started yesterday, Isaac, is whether or not, if this was a male athlete involved with the things that Hope Solo has been involved with off the field, do you think a different sort of perception would ensue, and do you think it will be getting more traction. The story will be getting more traction.
I definitely do. And I think the important thing to remember in this scenario is that the law is the law. It does not account for men or women. And from what I've read about Solo's case, it's clearly domestic violence, yet I think in general the media chooses to ignore it because, for one thing, there's a great movement going on right now where from the Ray Rice incident, we've seen a lot of men step up and say, this is not acceptable. Domestic violence is not right. All these athletes coming out and say, this is not how I treat women. But this goes both ways. Now, it's a larger percentage in domestic violence cases of men that abuse women, but it does go both ways. And we've got to pay attention to the other side as well. So, no, I think it's been a horrible job by the media to relatively ignore this case. And, yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, it's certainly a double standard. I think if this was any NFL player, or any player in the NBA, any player in the NHL, any male-driven sport, if, you know, and that's because of the disproportionate, you know, percentages of men committing domestic violence against women as opposed to the other way around, women, you know, doing that to men, which I have actually, this happens. This happens, Isaac. Women, certainly, because I've seen it. You know, a few of my buddies back in the day, I mean, just, it's like, dude, I mean, it really disturbing stuff where a woman is just basically just, you know, involved in just violence against the man. And it's rarely talked about because at the end of the day, the man is the one with the testosterone, the bigger, you know, more intimidating figure. A woman, you know, causing that type of, attitude towards on a man. It's like, come on, dude, man up, basically. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, this does happen. And looking at, you know, Hope Solo's case, I mean, you know, if you look at and really read the detailed accounts of certain instances that she's been involved with, again, you know, there was an ESPN report detailing disturbing allegations that Hope Solo verbally abused police officers after a domestic conflict that led to her arrest last year. She said, quote, "You're such a insert bad word," end quote. She said that to one officer. And then she said, quote, "You're scared of me because you know that if the handcuffs were off, I'd kick your blank," end quote. Solo's half-sister, Teresa Obert, she actually went on camera describing her account of the alleged attack on her, accompanied by two photos of scrapes on her neck and bruises on her face. And then when asked if UF Soccer had asked for her side of the story, Obert said no. And in that moment, Solo's prosecutors looked nearly as poor as Solo did, in my view. But yeah, I mean, there's detailed accounts of Hope Solo being involved in this sort of activity. And I think that if it was a man, we would see an entirely different dialogue.
We definitely would. And it's just sad that not only does not only is she playing in the World Cup, but U.S. soccer is really not even looking into this issue. So I'd like to see some changes made on that front. And hopefully victims come out because, there, like you said, this does go both ways. And while one way is more common, doesn't mean the other way doesn't happen.
So true. Again, we'll post this on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. We'll read your thoughts on it during tomorrow's show. Thanks to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Helene St. James of the Detroit Free Press for joining me today. Take care. Have one fantastic hump day and be easy, people.